come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time?" The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Wow. Never volunteer to preach unless you've read the Gospel of the day first. This is one of those Sundays when I almost wish I wasn't up here. Our Gospel for today, from Luke, is blunt, harsh, and even threatening. Pastor Phil suggested that I may want to preach on our reading from Hebrews, and after stewing over this sermon all week long, I almost tore up the Luke notes and went for Hebrews. Our Gospel for today is just plain uncomfortable to hear. But is that the fault of our Gospel, or is it our fault? If you're like me, you would prefer to avoid conflict and division. In our personal lives, here in our congregation, even our faith, none of us like conflict. And this Jesus speaking today, he's a different Jesus. He's a mad Jesus. Memories of childhood songs like "Jesus, Tender Shepherd, Hear Me," and pictures of Jesus with the little children, the angels heralding to the shepherds that this newborn child of Bethlehem would bring peace on earth. It's way easier to preach on the pleasant, peaceful Jesus. But today, right in verse 51, Jesus clearly states, "Do you think I came to bring peace on earth?" No, he tells us, not peace, but division. This is not the Jesus we tend to think of. You know, the love your enemies one, the suffer the little children's one, the healing the outcast, the take this bread, take this cup, Son of God, Prince of Peace. This is not the good news I want to hear. This is just plain uncomfortable for me. But maybe that's the exact purpose of Jesus' words and his tone recorded here by Luke. Shocking and gets your attention. Kind of like when I touched the stove burner at age 5, even though Mom told me it was hot. I've never forgot that shocking experience and that uncomfortable experience. Luke's passage draws us into the words of fire, stress, and divided families, of shattered peace and brewing storms. These are difficult and unsettling words from Jesus. If we look back at Luke's gospel account, there seems to be a growing intensity from the moment Jesus, Peter, and John came down from the Mount of Transfiguration in chapter 9, verse 37, leading up to the moment of today's gospel. Jesus has passed harsh words of judgment on the generation that stood before him, and prophetic words of woe for cities, for the Pharisees, and for lawyers. These strong indictments set the context for Jesus' uncomfortable words that we encounter in today's text. Jesus proclaims, "I have come to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled." The term fire is used multiple ways in the Bible. The existing scriptures that Jesus' followers would have heard in the synagogue back in those days would have depicted fire as the symbol for God's presence. Think about Moses and the burning bush, or the pillar of fire leading the Israelites from Egypt into the desert back in the book of Exodus. Fire also represented God's judgment, the horrific rain of fire down on the condemned cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And finally, fire represents purification, Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9, and Malachi chapter 3, verse 2 refer to God's intention to purify Israel like a metalsmith purifies silver by fire. Those were the stories of God's fire told in the synagogue in those days. And some people may even have heard newer stories or even experienced John the Baptist's pronouncement over Jesus in Luke chapter 3, verse 16. I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Jesus comes to bring fire on the earth, and his language beckons and longs for a time when God's unrestrained work would burn among his people. Jesus then proclaims in our gospel for today, I have a baptism to undergo, and what stress I am under until it is completed. The baptism Jesus knows is coming, this stress he is under is not a baptism by water. This is a baptism of splintered wood and harsh nails, the cross that awaits Jesus. Jesus is under incredible stress. He has turned his eyes towards Jerusalem, and he is clearly burdened by the weight he carries and all that awaits him. And under that stress, he's blunt, even harsh. And he proclaims in verse 51, "Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, not peace, but rather division." And then he gives us a litany of intimate relationships that will be divided and fractured. Fathers against sons, mothers against daughters, the whole family at odds. I am a good and happy Scandinavian Lutheran. Even better after a good cup of coffee. I strive to avoid conflict at all costs. I am a peacemaker, and I will do anything to diffuse potential for conflict, whether it's a well-timed joke, agreeing just to achieve consensus, or just walking away. Those of you who have served on council with me know that full well. But these words of Jesus, while Jesus clearly meant what he said about division versus peace, and history has borne him out, his very disciples were called to follow him and leave their families behind, dividing their families. The Christian church his faithful disciples began after Jesus' resurrection and ascension into heaven, while these disciples and new followers of Christ, these first Christians, they were Jews, and they still went to the synagogue. And when they began introducing stories about Jesus into worship, they were told pretty quickly they weren't welcome anymore. Division. And then, thanks to Paul, non-Jews, the Gentiles, began worshiping with the community. More conflict. They weren't even circumcised, for crying out loud. And they didn't eat kosher. Sacrilege. More fracturing and conflict and argument. In the first couple of hundred years after Jesus, there were two main views in the early Christian church, represented by two guys, Arius and Athanasius. Arius did not believe Jesus co-equal to God, and the other guy did. This was no small disagreement, and in ancient Alexandria, there were even drinking songs arguing one side or the other. If you happened to sing the wrong song in the wrong pub, you stood a good chance of getting thrown out on your ear or having it cut off, kind of like wearing an Oilers jersey in the Saddle Dome. Eventually, the Nicene Creed was formed to unify the church. But there was more disagreement on whether the Holy Spirit came only from the Father or proceeded through the Son. Of course, we all know the latter prevailed for us, but there was still division which resulted in a split between the Roman and Orthodox churches that still exist to this day. And then, of course, there was Martin Luther, who only wanted to reform the church. Well, he nailed those 95 theses on the church door and laid the groundwork for church unity to be shattered forever. Christendom divided quicker than the Republican Party. Catholics, Lutheran, Baptists, Anabaptists. And of course, we mighty Lutherans divided so many ways, we even have a select bunch just from the state of Missouri. And today, well, today it's all about conflict and division. Terrorism is rampant, political and religious. Churches continue to struggle with conflict and division, everything from women's ordination and the place of our gay and lesbian members in the community to how many scoops of coffee in the coffee pot. Hillary and Donald, the NDP and the Wild Rose, and now Jason Kenney, more political division right here in Alberta. We're even conflicted about whether we should floss our teeth. A while back, I was encouraged by my manager to attend an intensive course in conflict management and resolution. I learned some important lessons. The most important was that conflict in itself is not a negative. It is essential to human and community growth. It is also unavoidable, no matter how long it is put off. But the longer it is put off, the more destructive it can be. So conflict is to be managed, not avoided. My course emphasized the most important lesson is not to get in the way of the conflict by telling jokes or trying to create a false peace. And now, after thinking about today's gospel, avoiding conflict is not something that Jesus taught. He is not looking for false or even true peace. He brings division. But his life, his teachings, his baptism, and his fire are a model for us on how to keep conflict from becoming violent and destructive. Today's gospel, this picture of Jesus as the bringer of division rather than peace, seems counterintuitive. However, as Luke pens his gospel account, it becomes clear that this division of which Jesus speaks is a result of the purifying fire he bears. The kingdom of God he proclaims represents a new order, governed not by might, but by forgiveness. Not by fear, but by courage. And not by power, but by humility. Yet those people of that time invested in the present order, the Pharisees, the lawyers, the Romans, those lured by the temptations of wealth, status, and power, those are the people who will resist this coming kingdom because it represents an end to what they know and love and cling to. So Jesus, though coming to establish a rule of peace, brings division even to the most intimate and treasured earthly relationships. And there are still those of us who struggle with the temptations of wealth, power, and status. We like our creature comforts. We like our worldly possessions that make us secure and happy and content. We covet and we protect them, and we lose focus. Just like those people Jesus was speaking to that day, we cling to creature comforts and we create false peace to avoid conflict, and we lose sight of the message and hope Jesus brings. We too, like the Pharisees and the lawyers of Luke's day, resist the kingdom of God. God sent Jesus to herald the coming kingdom of God and to establish his kingdom on earth, raising neither banner nor sword, but instead he will hang on the cross. And he calls for a new way of relating to each other via forgiveness, courage, compassion, and humility and belief in him. We can't lose sight of that. Throughout history and even now, people have and will continue to endure the broken relationships because of the faith they claim in Jesus Christ. These words of division resonate in our own context as our communities, our congregations, our countries struggle with divisions along almost every cultural line. Uncomfortable though the gospel of today might be, it is true. Jesus is right. Not peace, but division. It is in facing our conflicts that only then can we find true peace that passes all understanding. That is the good news. It is through the cross we find new life. In his life and how he faced his death, Jesus showed us a new way to find unity. I've learned from today's lesson that I can't extract Jesus' word on divisions from his words on fire and baptism. The only way for divisions to find healing is when one witnesses God's unrestrained and and completed work through Christ, seen at the cross and at the empty tomb. Jesus taught us that we are all beloved by God. Each one of us holds divinity within us, making us one with God. We can no longer love God and hate our enemies. We have to love our enemies, love those different from us, help those less fortunate than us. In our conflict, he calls us to forgive and accept forgiveness. As followers of Jesus, we have to be people of redemption and restoration if divisions are to give way to community. We have to be people of action, not just thoughts. Uncomfortable though it may be, Jesus is calling us to action. The division Jesus speaks of in our gospel is a result of the purifying fire he bears. The kingdom of God he proclaims represents a new order, governed not by might, but by forgiveness, not by power, but by humility and compassion. Amen.